Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Our Father, we give you honor, we give you praise, we exalt you because you have already come. You have already come. And what can we do? Only to stand up in faith and declare what you have already said. And so, Father, we are praying that the spirit of prayer will come upon us. The spirit of supplication will come upon us. That the promise that you have made will become a reality in our day. Spirit of God, we ask that you send us help even as we begin to take practical response to what you have spoken. Hereafter, we shall see heaven open. We shall see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our gathering from every corner of the earth. We sense that this is strategic because of what you want to do. And we are looking unto you, God, that we will not fail to believe you for it. We will not fail to hold your hand for it. We will see it come to pass in our generation. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Two passages we are going to read. The first passage, I want us to take it from Zechariah chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 10. But if you have space of time, you will read Zechariah chapter 12 from verse 1 all through. But verse 10 up to the end of the verse 14. And we shall read chapter 13 just to put our thoughts together. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for the firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of Shimei by itself, and their wives by themselves, all the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. Chapter 13, verse 1, in that day, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. It shall come to pass that if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who begot him will say to him, you shall not live, because you have spoken lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall be in that day that every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. Then they will not wear a robe or coarse hair to deceive. But he will say, I am no prophet, I am a farmer. For a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Let's stop there. You know, the passages could be read on and on, on and on. You can go on reading that chapter 12, chapter 13, and up to chapter 14.
Chapter 12 is our present request.
You will notice that chapter 13,
will only be the result.
And if you look at chapter 13, you will notice that it says, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin, and for uncleanness. And you see, it shall be in that day, says the Lord, I will cut off, I will do this, I will do that. This will be the unmistakable manifestation of the result of the open heavens that we are looking for. But before we get to that, there's something that God is calling us to do, which I want to thank God that the Holy Spirit has brought out so clearly. Let's quickly look at what that meant. Now, just to link up very quickly from where we stopped, as Simeon brought the word of God. The first thing we saw was that God made a declaration and declared unto Elijah. After three years and six months. The heaven had been closed, the rains had stopped, the droughts had stopped, the dryness and famine had ravaged the land because of disobedience, because of the troubles, because of the troubles that people have turned to idol worship, because of what was going on in the palace, because of the activity of Jezebel upon the land of Israel. God's request answered the prayer that the servant of God prayed in order to bring men to repentance. After three and a half years, they have gone everywhere, they have tried everything, seeking solution for their problems. But there can be no solution until God comes down. But the first thing that was striking as we were looking at that story, which is very critical for us to understand as we begin to respond to the promise of the open heaven. So the promise of the open heaven, our response. That's what we are going to be dealing with now. Our response to the promise of open heaven. What should be our own response? Now, you remember that God has always wanted to walk on the face of the earth through men. And every time God wants to do anything, whenever it involves the earth, the first critical need, because of the protocol God has established, it is God that established this protocol, and he will not break it. If it was possible for God to go contrary to his word and to his counsel, maybe something would have been different. If God did not give the earth for the children of men to handle, to govern on his behalf, then the question of why is man that thou always visitest him would not have arisen. God could have made do without us. God could have looked for something else to overrun the earth. But because in God's determinate counsel, the earth has not been given to angels to rule, and the earth has not been surrendered to demons to control, God has insisted that it is man that he has made. He said, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. It is this man that God has made that God is intending to flow through, to walk through, to establish his counsel on the face of the earth. I pray that again settles in your heart definitely. If God is going to move in Belize, it is not angels that will come. If God is going to move in Europe, it is not angels that he will come. If God is going to walk, in north of Africa, it is not angels that will come and do that job. It will be men and women that God has prevailed upon, that has cried and they wanted to see heaven come down, that the ones that God is again going to use. And so for this reason, that's where and that's why God is deliberately speaking and focusing upon us and causing us to have an understanding of what he wanted to do on the face of the earth. So, dear brothers and sisters, as you are sitting in your different centers, and as you are located in different parts of the world, and God has drawn your heart to this meeting, and you are hearing a resonating voice in your spirit from the word of God as we are declaring it, and say, you shall see the heaven open. You will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And as God began to speak to us yesterday, that open heavens is to create an ascending. God is going to raise men, going to raise sons unto glory by himself. And he is going to give them gifts. He's going to empower them. He's going to cause his purpose to be released upon their lives, so that the world, the men of the world, might be helped, might be delivered, might be brought out of their own predicament. God has determined that whatever he was going to do on the face of the earth, he will do it only through the instrumentality of men and women. This is a very critical matter. I don't want you to forget. God is going to visit Liberia. Angels are not the one to do it. God is going to walk in Sierra Leone. Angels are not the one to do it. God is going to move all over the Francophone nations, not only of Africa, but of the whole world. But heaven has determined that this thing that I'm going to do, I must do it through men, through women that are yielded. Now, because it is God's intention that the earth must be governed, must be handled for him by sons of men. This is why I noted that when he said you will see angels ascending and descending upon, not the Son of God, upon the Son of Man, I said that is very significant. Because what Jesus did was to take upon himself the form of man so that he can redeem man and now raise a new creation kind of man in whom his own life, his own resurrection life will dwell and be able to carry out God's assignment on the face of the earth. God's intention is that the Son of Man, who has come that he would deliver man, and he would raise a new creation, a new species of men and women on the face of the earth. These men that are dead to sin, these men that are dead even to the self-life, these men that have said bye-bye to the world system, who only live for Christ to live in and through them to carry out his divine purposes on the face of the earth. God said to Jesus, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I will send out of Zion the rod of your strength. Again, we know that God is doing all of this to raise the men that he will use to fulfill his promise on the face of the earth. Now, having noted that, let's quickly put in perspective. When Ahab started misbehaving and the land of Israel was going through that level of backsliding and they were turning everything to the worship of Baal, all that God needed is still a man. Say, so I stand and I look for a man who will stand in the gap. And we praise God, there was an Elijah. There was an Elijah that God burdened his heart to the point that he went praying. Even though in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, we were not told all the effort he made to pray. When you read chapter 17, the only thing we saw in that chapter 17, if you might refer to it, in verse 1, they only announced something. And it was very curious because we need to understand some few issues quickly so that we can get to do and respond to God, to the promise of the open heavens appropriately. If you see me going around, it's just for me to say one matter. And then once it's settled, we'll be ready to go to God in the place of prayer. Now, if you look at chapter 17, the Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And from that point, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get thee hence, turn you eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jonah. Now, you will see that there was nothing before chapter 17 that pointed about Elijah. We couldn't know. We only heard that Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, he said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. The only clue that we had about his life, about what he was doing in that little Bible verse, was before whom I stand. So it looks to me as if Elijah was one man who, by the grace of God, has been standing before the Lord. What is he standing for? He was standing before the Lord for the situation of Israel. He was standing before the Lord for the deliverance of his people. He was standing before the Lord in the secret place for something to happen. I perceive that it is in his standing with God, standing in counsel with God, standing in that space, in the presence of God, that God gave him this instruction. Go and announce to Ahab that there shall be no rain for the next 3 years and 6 months until you come back. He wasn't coming to make an empty announcement. He came to make that announcement as a man who has been standing before the Lord, before whom I stand. Now, please hold that quickly and follow me again because I'm laying a bit of foundation so that we can understand what is God asking us to do. What must be your response to this promise of the open heaven that God is speaking? And this open heaven that God is speaking, we already understand that it will have a global effect. It will affect mission and ministry into all the nations of the earth. It will affect the body of Christ, the oneness of the body of Christ, the preparation of the bride for the coming bridegroom shall be affected out of these open heavens that God is talking about. It looks so big and bogus, but it's not impossible for God to do. And we should never think it's incredible that God will be saying such a thing to people like us at a time like this. I was imagining that, who was Elijah? Who was all those people that God spoke to in their own day? And they responded. Do they have seven heads? Were they born by a different thing? We were all born of women. But thank God we were even born again. We have even come to experience Christ in another manner. So I don't think there's any reason why any of you should think it's incredible for God to be speaking to us the way He's speaking. And I don't want any of you to come with unbelief and see what God is saying will not come to pass. It will come to pass. I've always said to you over the years, I said, even if you don't believe, don't disbelieve. If you don't understand, don't misunderstand. If you don't know what to do, just follow in obedience. God has spoken, it will come to pass. What we have seen so far was not here when God spoke many years back to us. Those of us that have been walking with God and waiting on God and holding God's hand, there was a time when there was nothing. There was a time when all that you are seeing now was not there. All we see now was not out of something that was there. They all came out of what has never been. And so for God to be faithful to the point at which He has brought us, I have no doubt that God, and we bring us to this point, I will not fulfill what He says. He will do so. And for each one of you, you shall see heaven open. You will. My prayer is that you will be part of it. Let me tell you something before I go on. It will happen. It will happen. Tell somebody by your side, it will happen. Yeah, it will happen. There is no doubt about that. It will happen. The only issue that is critical, which I want to say to you, make sure unbelief did not or does not dislocate you from it. Are you hearing me? When Elisha stood up and told that king that by this time tomorrow, a measure of grain will be sold for this much, a measure of oil shall be sold for this much, that after all things that look impossible, and Elisha declared it because the word of the Lord came to him. Then the man that you're standing by the king, like the king Amobiara or whatever you want to call him, that man opened his mouth and said, ah. And you know what he said that was very painful to me was, he said something, all of you should look at what he said before I return here. I'm coming, you know, I'm opening scriptures, but I pray you can follow this. Now, that man said in 2 Kings chapter 7, 2 Kings 7, verse 1 said, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven. You see, oh my God, he spoke something bigger than his mouth. If God will open, will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? I think he does not understand the capacity of heaven to overrun the earth. I think he does not know that what it takes to overrun the entire earth is not just in heaven. It's just a small thing that if God just released, the whole place will change. Just one word from the Lord, the whole earth can be brought to a standstill. You have seen that before. So I want you to know, as we are coming into this response, what will be our response? The first thing is that let your response not be a response of unbelief. Are you hearing me? Let your response not be a response of unbelief, either because of all the troubles that you have had, all the dryness, all the famine, all the difficulties, all the issues that you normally consider, and you say, well, if we see the way things are, if we see the way things have been, if we see the way things have been, can it ever be? Please do not stagger at the promise of this open heaven because of unbelief. This I need to say to you before I go ahead. Your response must not be the response of unbelief. Your response must not be the response of a mere common sense of intellectualism that is trying to calculate, that is trying to analyze, and say, looking at this, looking at this, looking at this, looking at the way things are scattered, look at the way things have gone, look at how many backsliding are taking place, look at what is happening in this country, what is happening in that country. This thing that you are saying, will it ever happen? May the Lord please help your life not to respond with unbelief. Because this man was speaking in unbelief, the Bible said, the man of God said to him, behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, but shall not eat thereof. There's a problem here which I really will pray that God should heal us, heal the church, heal his children of unbelief. That his children should not be those lepers, those people that are in Israel. They saw Jesus, they saw the man of Calvary, but they never reached out because of unbelief. And people like Naaman, unbelievers from another country, they came and collected their own blessing and they left in their very eyes. I want you to pray deliberately that you will not have been in discipleship for years, and now that the purpose of God is about to break forth, unbelief will relocate you outside it. The man said, you will see it all, but you will not eat of it. Unbelief. Now, the critical issue is that this thing will happen. This thing will take place as God has spoken it. Whether you will be part of it or you will not be part of it will depend on your response. Don't respond with the spirit of unbelief. That's why the song that we are going to be using, very important to me. This song is very important. Be gone, unbelief. You will say to yourself, be gone, unbelief. My Savior is near. Be gone, unbelief. The Lord is at hand. Be gone, unbelief. God is about to do what he says he will do. Be gone, unbelief. The things that we have waited for years, the time for it is here. Don't let unbelief push you outside. Don't join the group of people that has come for. There are people that by the grace of God, we have tarried, we have labored, we have all of that, and shortly before the outburst, something is locating them out. Be very careful. Be very careful. Don't let unbelief push you out, because this thing will happen. You will see it. How painful will it be that you are now no longer inside it? How terrible will it be that you will see it? You see what you yourself have cried together with us about, and now unbelief is going to take you out of it. Oh, you must pray, Lord, unbelief must not cripple me out of this. Unbelief must not push me out of it. I will be part of it. Now, listen carefully to me. Some people believe God, and they were waiting for the manifestation of what God said until they died. So the Bible said, these people died in faith. You know, I prefer them. I prefer a man to have died believing God, expecting God. And it is in the expectation of God, in his faith, that heaven say, okay, brother, because you have believed, we have counted it to you as righteousness. Come and rest. And he may not even be here when we are now seeing the promises all breaking forth left and right. But he believed until he died. Is better than those of you who will be alive and you will not believe. It is not good for you to be alive and not be part of what God is saying because of your unbelief. So that's the first issue that is rising seriously in my spirit as I listen to the Lord speak to us through his servants this morning. And I felt that God will have me remind you that our first response to the promise of open heaven must never be that of unbelief. Now, I give you a few issues of those who responded. I'm just dealing with the first response. Our response must be a response of faith. A response of holding God's word steadfastly. A response of believing that what God says he will do it. And I just praise God for the way the Lord used Brother Simeon this morning. And he said, look, even some of you, you may be wondering and say, but God did not speak directly to me. But God spoke to our leaders. God spoke clearly to those that are custodians of what he wanted to do. If they believed and they did not disbelieve, all the people under their hands were blessed. Am I communicating? But if those that were custodians, who are supposed to be in leadership of what God is talking about, if they should disbelieve, the untold hardship that will come upon the whole house can be very terrible. And that is what Jesus was crying about in Luke chapter 19. All others were already dancing and going up and down saying, Hosanna in the highest. But the people that are supposed to be the leaders, those that God was holding responsible for the land, they did not believe. And Jesus said, Kai, how I wish in this your day of visitation, your eyes were open to the things that belong to your deliverance. But now your eyes have not seen it. So your house is left to you desolate. May the Lord not leave our house desolate. Very important. If God, listen, let me give you a little understanding of what I'm trying to say. If God has in mercy elected you and put you in a space where you are the arrowhead for your nation, or you are the arrowhead for the denomination, or you are the one that God has called to spearhead what he wanted to do, like he called men like Moses, like he called men like Joshua, like he brought somebody like Elijah up, like he brought other men here and there up, if God is pointing to you that you are one of those and setting apart in your nation, in your denomination, in your community, I want to pray with you that unbelief must not cripple you. Because if you refuse to believe, you make all the people under your hand, you make them unfortunate. I have just been praying, Lord, let there be no reason why I will be a reason to jeopardize all that you have put under my hand, because I'm refusing to believe you. Let it not be that people became stagnant because their leaders have refused to believe God. So, two things is coming. As the Lord is setting us up here and there in wherever you are sitting, and God is showing you that the reason why you are in leadership, the reason why God has given you a space where you are, is because
You are supposed to host, you know, I use the word, you are to host what heaven is about to release for that community, for that nation, for that church, for that campus, wherever you are. Can you pray, let unbelief not mislocate me. Let not unbelief cut me short. And if it was going to have cut you alone short, maybe it would have been pardonable. Let unbelief of your own life not bring desolation to all those that are tied around your aprons. May God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, because that man spoke like that, the thing happened. It happened in a way that nobody could imagine it would happen. I remember God brought us into this kind of thing many years ago. And I was begging all the brothers around me. Then I said, even if you don't believe, don't disbelieve. Because God is leading us. God is asking us to obey Him. And as we take a step of obedience, we will see the glory of God in the land of the living. I thank God for where we are now. I thank God for what God is doing now. But what God is doing now is very small compared with what is about to happen. He said you will see greater things than this. Where we are now is too small compared with what God is about to do. So the need for response in faith, the need to respond to God in faith is very, very critical here. But now, what was the critical issue the Lord was raising for Elijah here? Elijah said, as the Lord liveth, the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. As I was tracing that, I see that, okay, God gives men, God gives women sometimes a space among those who stand before Him. And I have already noted that God, in His mercy, is bringing us to an understanding that what is about to happen in the earth, which God is advertising to us and bringing to us, will require that we will take a stand among those who stand before Him. So in Zechariah chapter 3, the Lord was speaking to Joshua the priest at the time, because they were supposed to be leaders of the restoration from captivity, of the 70-year captivity. And God was saying to him, thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 7, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give you places to walk among these that stand by me. These that stand here, I will give you places to walk among them. Now, what is the second response? What is the first response? We must respond to this promise of open heaven in faith and not with unbelief. We must believe the word of God. But then the second response that is also tied to the first response is the response to stand before God for what God is saying in our generation to come to pass. To stand before God and say, Lord, because you said it, we believe you that it will come to pass. So when we spoke about Elijah here today, and God said to Elijah after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. You know, of course, I thought that God was going to say, I will send the rain upon Israel. But I realized that God was speaking beyond Samaria. God was speaking about what He would do on the face of the earth.
And so, brothers, again, as we are talking about the response, what God is promising us is for the entire earth. Even if he's speaking to us in a small place like Boko, or the Lord is speaking to you in a corner in Zululand, or God is speaking to you somewhere in Namibia, and God is mobilizing your heart to come and stand in his presence for this thing to happen. If it ever breaks forth, either in Boko or in Namibia, it's for the whole earth. I pray that that will again be clear to you. That whenever it breaks forth, and God begins to respond to our cry, it is for the earth. So, let your heart be enlarged to know that what we are standing to receive in response to the promise of the open heaven that God is talking about, it will affect the earth. It will not just affect your little space. It will affect your little space first by the grace of God. It will affect your vicinity by the grace of God. But the destination of it is the whole earth. The effect of it is the whole earth. What God is about to do is for the whole earth. And I would like you to respond to God about it. You may look few, say, but we are not too many here in India. We are not too many here. Oh God, we are not too many in Pakistan. We are not too many here in Russia. That is not the issue. That's not the issue. In the days of Elijah, there were not too many of them. In fact, Elijah did not know there are some other 7,000 that God has reserved. He thought he was alone. So that's not the matter here. The matter is, can you stand through? Can you stand with God? Can you believe God? Can you let's see what God wants to do? Praise the Lord. So the first response that we're asking God to give to each one of you here is a response to the place of prayer. So, when we begin to read Zechariah, I was surprised that what God said he will pour out. All of you, please come back to that Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. He said, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. You know, I was first thinking that if God will pour something, I say, I will pour upon you the spirit of power, the spirit of miracles, the spirit. No. I realize that miracles, healings, all of those things, they are only follow come. They are effects. They are not causatives. They are not the thing that pull things down. They are things that only follow. So I saw God say, what I want to release is the spirit of prayer, the spirit of grace and supplication. Something that will move all of us to the place where we can connect with God and bring down what God has spoken. The spirit of prayer that will come upon our lives until all that God has said he will do is being done, because God is ready to do it, but he needs someone on earth to ask him for it. So when the Lord began to speak again this morning about, so what should be our response to the promise? We are talking about the essence, the implication, the expectation of the open heaven God is talking about. But now we have come to a point of, so what should be our response to it? If we have heard God speak to us, like God spoke to Elijah, go, I will send the rain. Go and show yourself to here. I will send the rain. But I saw that Elijah knew that when God said, I will send the rain, it was a call. It was a call for him to come to the mount of prayer.
Thank God for all the practical steps he took. Thank God that he repaired the altars. He gathered all the people. He slaughtered the prophets of Baal. All of that, they were all the necessary corrections that we must be making while we are waiting for what God says he will do. We must continue to do all the things that God will show us to do in correcting our own lives, in removing anything that is contrary, in digging ditches as the Lord began to speak to us. And all of that we will keep doing. We must keep raising disciples, preparing people that will become vessels for the revival. We must keep doing all of that. But while we are doing all of that, there was something that heaven is calling us into as a response. And what is it? The spirit of grace and of supplication. And the way the Bible describes it, please let me ask you to look at the way the Word of God describes it so that you can understand the way it will be. It said, they will look on me whom they pierce. There will be a very, very intense hunger for the Son of Man. There will be a very intense hunger and thirst to see the Lord again. He said, they will look for me. They will mourn for me. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. I don't know how to put this now, but let me put it as it is coming to my heart. You see, the genuine cry that will lead us to a body is for the Lord, is for the Son of Man, is for the manifestation of Jesus, because he is the answer to the matter that we are looking at. It is him coming. It is upon him the angels are ascending and descending that will bring the solution to the problem of our nations. It is him. And those of us that God is calling, our hunger for Jesus' manifestation, our hunger for the manifestation of Christ among men must become unquenchable. Sometimes you may think we are praying hard. Sometimes you may think the church is praying. Let me ask you to listen to what they are praying. They are not praying for Jesus to come. They are praying for their promotion. They are praying for their breakthrough. Some of you have been fasting for 40 days just to catch your visa to wherever you want to go. Some of you, your prayer is about things. It's about things that will make you your life comfortable. And when they say, oh, God is not answering prayer, God is not answering prayer, I wanted to ask, what is the prayer? What is the prayer? What is it that we are wailing and crying about? What's the matter? Some of us are feeling disappointed because we are thinking that our own party did not win. What does that mean? What is God looking for on the face of the earth? Is the Son of Man. Is the Son of Man that must be made manifest. It is him that was crucified that must be brought back again for men to honor him. He said, when they mourn, they will mourn for me. They will mourn, they will cry. They will fast for me. And I'm praying that even as we are going to be finishing from this meeting, the Lord will lay upon us an unquenchable thirst to see Jesus. To see Jesus made manifest first in our lives. To see Jesus made manifest in our generation. To see Jesus come upon the lives of people around us. They will mourn for him. They will grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem like the mourning at Rimon in the plain of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn. How will it be now? Look at it. Every family by itself. And as I was just sitting there, I said, Lord, will you do so? Will you create an hunger for you, for your glory, for your person, for your manifestation in our time? Will there be a yearning for Christ again? Not for things, not for clothes, not for pleasure, not for anything, anything that is just about things, but for Him, for Him, for His glory to come, for His power to be made manifest, for His kingdom to come, for His will to be done here on earth as it is being done in heaven. I was looking at a scripture the other day, and the Lord was challenging, I think it's still in Zechariah. He said, "Were you fasting for me?" Let me ask you to read it, because some of you thought you have fasted and fasted and fasted, and God has not answered. Look at what God is saying. Zechariah chapter 7, and I would like to ask you to read from that verse 1. Zechariah chapter 7, from verse 1, but I will get to verse 4. He said, "In the 40th year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the 40th of the 9th month, Chislev, when the people sent Sherezer, with Regem Melech and his men to the house of God, to pray before the Lord, and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, 'Should I weep in the 5th month and fast as I have done for so many years?'" Look at their question. You know, they have set up the 5th month as the month of weeping and the month of fasting. Then, "I have done this for so many years." Now look at the answer. "Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, 'Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th months, during those 70 years, did you really fast for me?'" If you are reading from the King James, the New King James, you see the word "me" is capital. "Did you fast for me?" And I seem to draw the emphasis. Do you see again? "For me?" Can you read it? "When you fast and mourn in the 5th and 7th months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowland were inhabited? Were you obedient?" So, brothers and sisters, the first thing is not to be counting how many months you have been fasting. For what are you fasting? Are you fasting for me? Was your fasting for Jesus to be made manifest? Or you are just dealing with some little issues around you? God wants to do something in response to this promise. He will pour upon us an unquenchable hunger to see Jesus. I don't know how God is going to do it, but since He said He will do it, I want to believe Him today. That several of you listening to this meeting, you are going to go out of this meeting in response to the promise of the open heavens that He says is coming, that God, by His mercy, will pour upon you an unquenchable desire to see Jesus. That what will matter to you anywhere else now will be nothing but Jesus. Do you know that if Jesus begins to be made manifest in a secondary school where you are teaching, the whole issue will change. All the students, when they begin to yearn and say, "We want to see Jesus. We want to touch Jesus. We want Jesus to become our lives," that will be the revival. The revival we are praying for, my dear brother and sister, I want all of you to know, is the manifestation of Christ. Is the release of Christ. Is the encounter with Christ that will come upon our generation in a way that we have never seen before. That's what this promise is to bring. But what is our response? A cry, an hunger, a burden of prayer for him to come. So when he said, I will pour upon the house the spirit of grace and of supplication, and I was trying to show you how it will happen, he said, yes, yes, in that day, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem for him. For him, I'm just begging that from one prayer meeting to another, all that people will be crying for will not be, oh God, oh God, oh God, come and solve this my problem. Oh God, there's no food in my stomach. God said, forget that. Your Father in heaven knows you are in need of that. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What you will wear, what you will eat is not going to be a problem. And I want to assure you today, I wish I can say that to all of you from all the land where you are listening, your physical personal need will no longer be a problem. Let me ask you to put that aside and let's enter into this place that God is giving, and it's a privilege. It's a privileged place to be one of those who, like Simeon of old, was waiting for nothing else but for the consolation of Israel. Hannah waited for all the years for nothing else but for him to come. So on the day when Jesus was brought to the temple, Simeon just went and grabbed it. He said, Lord, now, my hands have handled it. I have seen the salvation of the Lord. You know, people are saying he's a baby. But for Simeon, he said, Simeon said, now let thy servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen the salvation of God. And he began to speak. Because that was what they were looking for. Even for the first coming of Jesus, God located men who stood before him to ask for it to happen. And I see God saying, I have made another promise. And I'm looking for people who will respond in faith to let it happen. So let me quickly move out of this, because I wish I can stop at a point. We'll take that song, I'll read it to you, we'll pray together with it and sing it, and I'll send you to go pray with that song today. It doesn't matter which country you are representing. It doesn't matter which nation you are standing in. It doesn't matter what is the government in your country. It doesn't matter all the philosophies, all the things that is going on. That is not a problem. What is coming from heaven will overrun it. What is coming from above is above all of those things. But it requires that we will make a response. And the response I'm seeing God speaking about today is the response to stand before him. To be those people that say, let it come, O Lord, we pray you. Let the shower of blessing fall. We are waiting, we are waiting. And we are not waiting for something spurious. We are waiting to see the glory of the Son of Man come down again. We are waiting that Jesus will come again, and he will become the subject, he will become the focus, he will become the pursuit of everyone. Say, every family, and I was touched. He said, every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves. The family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves. So you are going to see prayer teams. You are going to see women praying. You see families holding God's hand. You see people say, Lord, Lord, until you come, we give ourselves no rest. The family of the house of Levi, by itself, and their wives by themselves. The family of Shimei by itself, and their wives by themselves. All the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. That is going to be a great mobilization. I wish the Lord will cause that to happen as we respond to God. I wish and I trust God that we will respond. And the reason why this message is coming, this instruction is coming to us as we are all seated everywhere, is that see, God is looking for all such families from this different nation, and the family of David, the family of David and their wives there by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself and their wives by themselves, the family of Shimei by itself and their wives by themselves, all the families that remain, every family by itself and their wives by themselves. When God will do that, the result, and I want you to see the result, in that day, chapter 13, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for cleansing. A fountain shall be opened. What you didn't know is who shall open it. You can see God will open a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. And God said in that day, the Lord of hosts said, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land. All the things that have troubled our nations, troubled our generation, all the new philosophies, all the new idols, the God of humanism that has become so, it has taken over the whole of Europe and the US, the God of Mammon, and all those gods. And if it was in Africa, we are talking about the God of Thunder, the God of Iron. Those gods are no more the gods that men are serving now. There are now new gods. New gods that are philosophical gods. But God is saying, I will cut off the names of those idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. This is what God will do. But in response, so I want you to see two things now. There's a space where God is saying, you come and stand. And keep standing there. Don't get distracted. Don't go anywhere else. I will do the rest. Could we respond to God like that? Could we say, Lord, draw me to that place? The last thing that was touching me before I ask you to read this song, because we just have to go through that song before we pray together. What was it? Why the announcement was given, I will send the rain on the earth. And Elijah knew that God had spoken and it will come to pass. So he did all he did by faith. And even Ahab, as Sashade was pointing out, they all were believing. They took the word. When he said, go and eat and drink, the man went and started eating because there is a sign of abundance of rain according to the word of the Lord to Elijah. But now, as those one went everywhere eating and drinking, what did Elijah do? Elijah went to the top of the mount. To do what? He cast himself down to the ground and began to pray. And as I was listening to Brother Simeon this morning, something was striking me. Others should go and be eating and drinking. There's no problem. Sometimes when you want to include those who are supposed to be eating and drinking in the place of fasting, your fast dies off. Sometimes you unnecessarily ask everybody to join. No. Some people should be eating. Some people should be feasting. That is not their problem. When the rain comes, all of them will find the rain. But there are people that God is calling and say, you come and stand with me. You come into the closet. You come closing with me. Let's do something together for the fulfillment of the promise of God. Now, I saw two things quickly. I saw that Elijah went to the top of the mount, cast himself to the ground, and put his face in between his knees. I have not been able to demonstrate that all along because I know what it will cost. It will cost something on your back. But what did I notice there? He did that so that no distraction. And I found something that I need to share with you now. That sometimes the desire to see results truncates our prayer life.
I thank God that Elijah was not the one going to pee
and
coming back. He sent his servant and said, you keep going. You keep going. Be going. I saw I have gone there. He said, go again. I have gone there. There's nothing. He said, go again. Go again. Don't disturb me here. Until it happens, I'm not standing up from here. Can God call some of us to stand before God until this thing has come to pass? For all the nations. Will God not allow some of us to be distracted by going up and down to the field to go and see? And when you go and see empty sky, you go and say, Kai, maybe we should change our methodology. Maybe we should do something else. Maybe that's why there's too much noise, too much gimmicks, as Brother Mark was sharing, too much human wisdom. And because we don't think that what God tells us to do will work out. We just pray small and then we go out to go and check. And only to see the display of evil, the display of wickedness, and say, when will God answer our prayer? And then you stand there murmuring. And yet your space in the place of God's presence is now vacant. I saw that Elijah refused to look even for result at the expense of praying. And I noted that, could it be that the only reason why I saw him running from Jezebel was again because he left that space. Began to run because the Bible said, when they said he has seen the hand, a small hand, the Bible says, go and tell Ahab that, make haste because the rain will stop you. But the next passage I read was that Elijah ran and actually overtook Ahab. And I was wondering why? What does that mean? Only to land and begin to run from Jezebel. And it was, so I'm praying that several of you that are here in this meeting, that God is speaking to the way he has spoken to you. You will respond to God in faith. You will respond to God not with unbelief. Now the last thing, you will respond to God by faith in doing the things that God will ask us to do. Noah moved by with godly fear and he built a house. He built an ark. He did what God told him to do. What is it that God is asking us to do? We will rise to do it. Now, as we stop, would you like to join me as we take that hymn? Be gone, unbelief. My Savior is near. And for my relief, he will surely appear. By prayer, let me do what? Let me do what? Let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Let's look at stanza 2. Though dark be my way, say he is my guide. 'Tis mine to obey. 'Tis his to provide. Though cisterns be broken and creatures all fail, the word he has spoken shall surely, surely prevail. His love in time past forbids me to think. He will leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. I hope you understand that. His love in time past does not allow me to think that God will just dump me here to sink in trouble. No. Each Ebenezer I have in review, because sometimes we are looking back to see what God has done, all the Ebenezer stones that some of us have planted, confirms to us his good pleasure that he will see us quite through. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And why should I complain, my dear brother, of want or distress, temptation or pain? He told me no less. The heirs of salvation I know from his word, through much tribulation, must follow their Lord. Even if you think things are hard, it's not, you are not the first person to go through this hardship. He said,
when your other brothers, who are also suffering like you do in all the world, we are all together in this matter. How bitter that cup no heart can conceive, which he drank quite up, that sinners might live. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ, my Lord, suffer, and should I repine? Since all that I meet, brothers and sisters, all that I meet shall work for my good. The bitter is sweet, the medicine is food. Though painful at this present time, it will cease before long, and then, oh, then how pleasant the conqueror's song. May God make you a conqueror. May the Holy Spirit rise upon you. Now, let's stand up and sing that song together. Everywhere you are, I'd like you to please stand up. We may not sing all the stanzas. I'll be telling you which stanza to sing as you join me in prayer. Be gone, unbelief, my Savior is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me rescue, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Though dark be my way, since he is my God, 'tis mine to obey, 'tis his to provide. Though systems be broken and creatures of fear, the word he has spoken shall surely prevail. His love in time past forbids me to think he will leave me at last in trouble to sink. It's sweet Ebenezer I have in review, confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. Verse 6 now. Since all that I need shall work for my good, the bitter is sweet, the medicine food. Though painful at present, twist it before long, and then hold how pleasant the conqueror's song. Amen. Amen. Now, as you stand, would you like to pray? Would you like to say, Lord, give me a stand before you. The promise of the open heaven has come. Their response was unto prayer. The response of the apostles was not to gaze on the heavens. Gazing on the heaven does not open it. It is going to the upper room to kneel down before God. That when it is the fullness of time, God will do what he says. He's watching the time. He's watching the particular hour when everything will outburst. And some of us, we have looked at what God said for years. But in 2019, God began to say to us, he said, I'm going to do something. Come inside and be with me. And there's an hour that is going to tell the whole earth. We were wondering, what would that be? What would that be that the whole world will sit down at one space? What will happen that the whole world will be shaken at a time? So that airports were closed, hospitals were closed, schools were closed, universities were closed, everywhere was closed, all over the world. God could do anything when he wants to do it. We were only praying, Lord, what did you do this for us to do? And he said, yes, this is not yet the time. This is not the end. I'm only using it as a wake-up call for you to enter to the closet and stand with me. Now I want us to beg God, Lord, take me in, take me in. Take us inside, oh God. where we will stand there steadfastly believing you with the great hope, not wavering, not thinking twice, knowing that your word will come to pass. Let's pray. Lord, release the spirit of faith upon us. Release the spirit of prayer, the spirit of supplication, such that as we travel, the Lord himself will set up a fountain for sin and a fountain for uncleanness, that the Lord himself will begin to cause the idols to be cut off, that nobody will remember them again, that God will cause this to happen beyond all that we know how to push. Oh, my brother, will you follow me into the closet as a response to the promise that God is giving us? As a response to the promise of the open heaven, can we respond to God and say, Lord, draw me in. Kaya baba baba. Neko robo shinda baba kaura masuria. He said, every family that remain, each family apart, they will be praying. Will you pray and say, Lord, release this in the whole of Ghana? I want Ghanaians to believe God, that Ghana is not a big place for God to overrun. It's not too big for God to overrun Ghana. But the Spirit of God is calling some of you now to the place of prayer. Will you say, Lord, we are coming in. We are coming in. Let the Liberians, let family by family say, Lord, draw me in. Draw us in. And then a fountain will be opened. A fountain for sin, a fountain for uncleanness, a fountain that will release men from their own predicament. Idols, false preachers, false prophets will be silenced in the land when we remain in this secret place. Will you please join us to pray? Let God release that upon us. Let God release that upon us, oh God, family by family, nation by nation. Let it happen every nation, oh God. Let there be no nation that does not have a representation in your presence for this matter. Lord, please do a new thing for us now. Baya katawya baba baba kaura mashiri. Zimba kando roboshinto roboshiri. I just want you to keep praying. God bless you, God bless you. Keep praying. Keep praying, keep praying, my friend. Just pray, say, Lord, draw me in. Let my family become set apart for a purpose until we see what God wants to do in the nations, until we see what heaven is going to release on the face of the earth. Oh, Bakari Bashandaba, Manto Robos Kambaru Bashiria. You are going in the spirit of prayer, and I want to ask God to set this on you permanently. I want you to pray until something happens. That's all we need to do. I saw that Jesus was only praying, the heavens opened. He didn't need to be looking to heaven. He was simply praying. He was simply praying. When he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, he was just praying when the heavens opened. The disciples were only praying when the full Pentecost was fully come. They were still praying one according one place. They continued. Let's pray and say, Lord, for our countries, for our nations, for South Africa, for all the parts, Karima Shando Roboskuria, for Canada, ask God, Lord, we want to enter into this place until you will now open the fountain for sin, the fountain for uncleanness, so that in the nation we are going to see things that we have never seen before. We are going to see a move of God that is beyond us. Please ask God for this. Ask God for this matter. God is the one bringing us to this place. And it doesn't take much. All of you that are from Botswana, can you tell God? We want to see a Botswana that is transformed. This open heaven is about to bring it to be. Don't think it is impossible or difficult. God is going to walk in this place. But heaven just saying, you come in here, stand before me until I do it. We are coming in because the word of God has come. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Please keep praying. Just offer yourself to God and say, Lord, draw me nearer. Take me in. take me in. All the Francophone nations, as the Lord is drawing us, oh, we will see what we have never seen before. We will see the kind of thing that has never happened before. God is going to show forth His glory. Hey, thank you, Lord, the brethren from Belize. Lula Kashanto Roboskuria. Nekaka Romo Shinda Rubasila. We are looking at Central America, the Latin America. We are looking, oh God, for the Southern America. We are looking, oh God, for what you are going to do in those nations. We are believing you, oh God, that you will raise that for us. Lord, we are standing before you, oh God, for all of Eastern Europe, oh God. The youth that used to be communist Europe. Lord, we are looking unto you that something will break loose. Something will break loose. Men will be eager to see Jesus. Jesus will become the desire of the nations again. Lord, let it be so. Let it be so. Thank you, Father. I'd like us to pray together. Let it come, O Lord, we pray you. Let the shower of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting. Oh, revive the hearts of all. Let it come, O Lord, we pray you. Let the shower of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting. Oh, revive the hearts of all. Let it come, O Lord, we pray you. Let the shower of blessing fall. We are waiting, we are waiting. Oh, revive the hearts of all. Father, unbelief will not cripple us. We respond to this place of standing before you for this promise to come. You will never fail. You said, do it tarries, wait for it. It will not tarry. It shall come. Lord, we know it will come. We know that what you have said now and the way you are announcing it now, we know it's at the door. But yet, we must be in that company of men and women that stand to bring it down. Must join the Elijah's company today. Amen. He said Elijah was a man of like passion who prayed earnestly that it would not rain and it did not. But he prayed earnestly again that it might rain on the earth. And the Lord gave rain upon the earth, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Lord, our earth will produce its fruit in the name of Jesus. Our nations will yield to this demand of God on it in the name of Jesus. We are trusting you, O God, that we see the glory of God in the land of the living. We see mission thrive in unreached lands. We see different groups, we see students, we see young people running to the kingdom of God. A fountain will be set up, O God. A fountain for cleansing. A fountain, O God, for cleansing from sin and from uncleanness. A move of the Spirit that will drive out all the idols, all the modernism in our generation. Lord, we are holding you, O God, that a time will come when it will be impossible for us to even hold a meeting in a small place anymore because there will be no space. Lord, we are trusting you that we will see that in the coming days according to your promise. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Release the Spirit upon your children as they go from here. Cause us to pray until we pray. Cause us, O God, to pray until all that you have said will happen has happened. Thank you, Father. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.